Why do we see tongues in Scripture? There's a lot of reasons. And there's no way that I can talk about the tongues in any sort of depth in 30 minutes. So the next four lessons that I have covers four aspects of tongues that I think will help us understand what tongues were used for. And what I'm hoping is that with this knowledge, we can share with people who are confused about the tongues. There's some people that really believe that they're serving God. And you would say, well, that's pretty harsh of you to say that they think they're serving God. But, you know, Scripture says that they can worship me in vain. Right? Who are those people? They're not the ones that are caught up in a false religion that doesn't even center around Jesus. Jesus made the statement, he said, they worship me in vain. So these are people who think they come to Christ and they think that they are doing him a service, but they are not. And tongues is one of those things that it takes a little bit of study, it takes a little bit of thought and a little bit of work on the hearer's part to understand why God brings tongues into the Bible and why he uses them and the things that they were done for. So this is one little aspect of tongues here, why we even see the whole thing about tongues on the day of Pentecost. There was one reason, first and foremost, why tongues were done. And I know that there is prophecy and there's a lot of things that we can go into this, but I want us to see that without the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost, what Jesus accomplished through the gospel would have never happened. Okay? Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've always seen the Holy Spirit at work throughout Scripture. The Bible, we see Him at the very beginning when it said the Spirit was hovering over the waters. We see Him in the power of raising Jesus from the dead, when Moses parted the Red Sea. I mean, all these things that we knew as a child and these things that happened, all the wonderful miracles of God, they were done through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so when we see these things, and then we see the Holy Spirit working on the day of Pentecost, we have to understand that these miracles, this wasn't the first time that we saw any sort of tongues. God used a donkey, which Larry's going over with this morning. God used a donkey to talk to a person, to a king. The guy was beating the donkey, telling him to go on, and the donkey said, you don't see that angel standing in front of you? Right? The donkey says, I'm not passing through, but I'm not going by this angel. And he says, and you're telling me I'm stupid. Right? And so God showed that his wisdom transcended all things. The donkey saw the angel. He wasn't going nowhere. But tongues is not something that just first appeared on the day of Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit is how God works. It's always been the power of God. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, raised Jesus from the dead? Why? Because God the Father remained in heaven. He never left His heavenly glory. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that reached down into Hades and pulled Jesus and unlocked that door. It was the promise of God. It was the power of God. It's always been that way. 1 Samuel 16:13 gave David power, anointed him as king, and gave him the gift of prophecy. When we see the Holy Spirit, there's one thing that very few people do, and that is that they separate the gift from the giver. Just because the Holy Spirit comes upon you does not mean, in the Old Testament, and with that donkey, I mean, was the donkey saved because the Holy Spirit was involved there? No, we have to separate the gift from the giver. There's one Holy Spirit, but Corinthians says there's a multitude of gifts. And Corinthians makes it very plain that not everyone has those gifts. Romans 8:11, We talked about that. That the Holy Spirit was the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 15, 19, we see that the Holy Spirit works signs and wonders by the apostles' hands. So the Holy Spirit's always been at work. But yet somehow, on the day of Pentecost, when tongues was mentioned, people want to freak out. Because the apostles were sitting up in the upper room, and they were waiting on these tongues of fire. And so you see all these different directions that I can go, and I try to cover these on the next couple sermons, but I can't spend 30 minutes answering all these questions. I want us to see one thing today, is that why tongues were present with the gospel and what it accomplished. Because without tongues, we would have never had the gospel message. Okay? And this is important because people who are caught up in a tongue religion, okay, that is based around this, they only see one side of the tongues, and that's the ones that the people teach them. But the Scripture will show us another side, and it will open up their minds to see that there is a way that God used tongues that was reasonable. Genesis 11:9, therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. These people, a lot of people will teach, and I guess I kind of saw it that way for a little bit, is that after the flood, they were building this great tower to reach up to God. That's what I always thought. But what I realized is that men are crafty, right? And God says that Himself. These people were building a tower that would rise above the highest mountains so that if a flood came again, that they would have a place to go and that they would escape the judgment of God. And He said, this isn't going to happen. And so what He did is by the power of the Holy Spirit, He confused their language. They didn't understand one another. And so they said that they stopped production. Wandered off in their own groups because I couldn't understand you. You couldn't understand me. We couldn't get the term across, right? Do you know why the Hebrews were called Hebrews? They spoke the Hebrew language. That's why they were called Hebrews. So all these people went away in their own languages. And the world couldn't understand one another. At the Tower of Babel, the Holy Spirit confused our language. I just told you why to some degree, but there was another purpose behind that. See, God doesn't do anything, just says, okay, what are my options here? I tell you what, let's confuse their language. That's a good one. Put that out there and we'll work with that. Remember, God has set up before the foundations of the world, we talked about it, He made this plan. This wasn't a last minute decision. And so, He confused their language at the Tower of Babel by the power of God. Why? Acts 2:6 through 11. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were very confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear in each our own language in which we were born? And He goes on to say the tongues that were used that day. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phygra, Philicia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Do you see what's going on here? Tongues was present. But just reading this passage and seeing this passage, why was tongues necessary on the day of Pentecost? Look at all the different languages that were there. How could I understand an Arab speaking in his language and me speaking English to him? We've had a lot of exposure to that with TV shows, and we hear the Arabs talk, and it's a distinct language. I have no idea what they're saying. And if they didn't understand English, I don't know how we would communicate. So how is the Galileans going to stand up and speak to those people who don't speak the language of the Galilean? How are they going to do that? Tongues were present. So God, who at the beginning at the Tower of Babel confused the language by the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told those disciples to stay in that upper room until you're indwelled with power on high. And all they see is those tongues of fire. Nobody else saw those tongues of fire. When they came out, nobody mentioned the tongues of fire. That was just a sign for the apostles. You understand? That was the sign for the apostles, that was their marching orders. And they went outside and they started to talk and preach the gospel in another language. And people were like, these guys are drunk. What's going on? And he said, and Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, he said, it is the third hour, second hour, whatever he said. And he says, these men are not drunk. God confused the language in the beginning, and he used tongues by the same power that confused them to bring it back together. So that, all those that were present could understand God speaking to them. And nowhere do we see that the Arabs, the Judeans, the Cappadocians, the Cyrenes, the visitors to Rome, nowhere do we see these people saying, what did he say? Can you tell me what you're talking about? I don't understand. Nowhere do we see that. But each one, in verse 11, it said, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. See, when you put it in that perspective, we understand why tongues was necessary on the day of Pentecost. Not because of the tongues of fire. Not because the Holy Spirit came down upon people and then disappeared and came back again. But because the power of the Holy Spirit gave them the gift of tongues so that they could speak in another language, the people that could hear. But what I want us to see here is that this was a language that people could understand. This was not a heavenly Babel that people teach today. This is a language that all of these different people, the Elamites, the Parthians, the Medes, they all understood. And they said, I understood in my language. And the guy said, well, I understand in my language. Another guy over here, he says, well, I could understand them too. How is this possible? God confused their language by the power of the Holy Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it would be a witness that He put those languages back together. And this is why we see tongues on the day of Pentecost. And that's what I just said. God confused the language, so one day, by the same power, the Holy Spirit could restore it. And that word, if you look it up, the tongues, it is a language. You go on in the study of New Testament 1100, it's a spoken dialect, which means that it's a language that people understand. It's a language that is used. It is spoken among people. Well, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit put our language back together so that we could all understand the gospel. How simple is that? But you have people that want to twist Scripture and they want to change the meaning of this, and they want to focus on this miraculous, wonderful gift because it is not for man. And when God is involved with the pillars of fire and when Moses threw down the staff and the blood and the water turned to blood, I mean, these are pretty cool things to be a part of. And also, in our feeble minds, in our grasping minds to understand God, if something like this happens, we feel like that we're close to God, right? We feel like that God's okay with us. So we can understand why people want to gravitate towards the idea of tongues. that they have a special gift or something that God uses today to say, hey, I'm in your midst. But that was a gift that was done away with. Why? Guess what we have today that they didn't have in the early church? The Bible. All the revelations of God. Prior to that, they only had letters that flowed around. They only had teachings and they had the Old Testament. And when you get into places like Corinthians, was a seaport town where you had, oh my gosh, man. I mean, you go down to the docks in Newport, or you go down to Louisiana where there's a lot of influx of people, it's hard to say what you're going to run into, what kind of language, right? And so when you had Corinthians and you had that seaport town and you had people come in and they had heard about Jesus and they said, I want to find out what this Jesus guy is all about. They come into a congregation and all of them speak a different language. They're like, oh, this is crazy. I can't understand. And then all of a sudden, somebody stands up and begins to speak in tongues so that those people can understand. But then there was also an interpreter that stood up and said, here's what he said to the people that didn't understand that language. How amazing is God? We don't need that now because we can look at the written word and it's written in our language. I would say there's very few languages that you can't get the Bible in. 2 Peter 3:16, I only have two slides, so. Is also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the Scriptures. Peter's talking about Paul's writings here. Paul wrote Corinthians where it talked about tongues, gift of tongues, and other gifts, and how that those gifts would pass away. And we're reading here, and Peter's telling them that people who don't know what they're talking about take those writings and take Scripture and they twist them to fit their own mind. So they'll tell you that this means something that it doesn't mean. And certainly tongues is one of those things. There's an entire denomination that exists because it is believed that tongues are a heavenly language. Now, at the next scripture we look at, I'm going to prove that that is wrong. But this happened back in the early 1900s, 1901, 1905. And so I'm doing this from memory. So if somebody wants to fact check me and stuff, you might find some discrepancies. But this isn't about exactly that it happened 1901 or 1902. It's just a brief overview. And there was a guy, I think his name was Charles Parham. And so he was in a worship service at night. And then all of a sudden, he believed that the Holy Spirit came upon him and he could speak in tongues. Right? And so here was a guy that had been opening up schools to teach people other languages on the ministry field. But when this happened, you know what he did? He shut down those schools and he started teaching the gift of tongues by the Holy Spirit. And so these ministries, these evangelists that came to him that were going out into these countries that had let the gospel go because they have heard, they just didn't continue it. They didn't tell their kids. If you don't tell your kids the gospel, whose fault is that? Yours or God's? Right? And so they were going out into these ministry fields, these evangelical fields to reach out evangelism, and these missionaries found out that this speaking in tongues things that Charles was telling them was going to happen didn't work out in the mission field. Didn't work. Nobody could understand what they were doing. So they had to change their understanding of tongues, and they called it a heavenly language. Right? They had it right the first time. Tongues was indeed a language that other people could understand. And sometimes in history we've had this happen where people wake up and they begin to speak German fluently, for example, and they've never had any German teaching. It's they call it, and I may be pronouncing this wrong, but they call it xenoglossia, okay? It's an abnormal thing that happens where you wake up one day and you can speak another language that you never had before. And so Charles believed that this happened to him. The thing is we get so excited about God. We want to get so close that we want to feel something. I want to feel, you know. I want to know. I want to know that God is involved in my life. So I want to feel these things. But the truth is that sometimes we don't feel very good at all. We don't feel very happy at all. We don't feel very thankful at all. Right? And so how can we have a religion based on feelings? God's love is based on facts. He tells us why He loves us. He tells us these things. So anyway, the tongues is taught by this denomination that it's a heavenly language. And all these people are waiting on what is called a second blessing. They are told that the Holy Spirit comes into their life, they'll begin to speak in tongues. And they're not actually saved until this happens. Yet in Corinthians, Paul said, can all speak in tongues? And you know what his answer was? No. So what is he saying? All the people that think they're saved, they're not saved unless they speak in tongues? Not everyone is going to speak in tongues. But this denomination puts people into spiritual poverty because these people believe this, and so they wait for it. They wait for it, and it doesn't come. They cry out to God, and it doesn't come. They reach out to God. They say, why won't you give me the second blessing? Why am I so bad? And some people, they become so depressed. They turn away from God because He, in their minds, turned away from them because they never brought the second blessing upon them. And this is what this denomination teaches. And I've just showed you the purpose behind that. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things we're going to cover, Lord willing, over the next 3 weeks about tongues. But the purpose behind tongues on the day of Pentecost was so that the gospel message could be brought into the world so that everyone could understand. Here's the passage that rebukes the idea that this was a heavenly Babel. In Acts 26, 14 through 15, Paul is given an account here about what happened on the road to Damascus. Because it happened, I think, in chapter 9 of Acts, 7, 8, 9, somewhere right along in there. I'm terrible about that, but it's in there. But he's given an account here, and he says, and when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. He's telling people this, and he says in verse 15, he says, so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, people will tell you that there's a heavenly language exists. But when Jesus, check this out, when Jesus, who was in heaven, who was on the earth and ascended to heaven, and he spoke to Paul from heaven, don't you think he would have used the heavenly language? He had been on earth and he talked to the disciples in a language they could understand. He had died on the tree. He had rose. He had gone to heaven. And then a voice comes out of heaven and he says, I am Jesus. Why are you persecuting me? If there was a heavenly language, Jesus would have spoke in that heavenly language. But the scripture's right up there. What language does it say that he spoke in? Why did he speak in Hebrew? Because that's the language that Paul understood. Jesus brought a message, that gospel message, and I know it was Peter, but that gospel message of what Jesus did on the day of Pentecost was spoken to the Hebrews, it was spoken to the Asians, it was spoken to the Arabs, it was spoken to all of the Jews that were present in all those different languages. And the reason he put those languages back together was so that everyone could understand what Jesus had done. And yet, people will tell you that there's a heavenly language and this person gets up and begins to speak in tongues. And I've seen it. I've witnessed it with my own eyes. I've been in that denomination when I was growing up and everybody grows silent. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is involved. The Holy Spirit has come down to man. And they never understood that when we're immersed into Christ, that that's when the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And they only see this. The Scripture calls tongues and prophecy juvenile. And it is when you compare it to Scripture. So they're worshiping and raising up this childish toy before God that's no longer necessary because we have Scripture. And we have people that we love, we have people that we know that are caught up in this denomination because they believe that the Holy Spirit comes down on the worship service and gives approval in the sight of all men that this was a great worship service and I give my approval of this. That's not what's happening. That's not why tongues were present. I'm telling you fact. Jesus in heaven, speaking from heaven, if he was ever going to use that heavenly language, he would have used it then. But he spoke to Paul in a language that he can understand. The same reason that they spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost so the people there could understand. Jesus didn't speak in a heavenly tongue. He spoke in the Hebrew language. Why? And it was because Paul is a Hebrew. That's what he spoke and understood. If I was up here, I take for example Catholicism. You ever go to Mass and they stand up there and they speak in Latin. What good does that do you? I don't speak Latin. It's a dead language, right? Isn't Latin a dead language? Why are they speaking a dead language of a person that brings life? And you can't even understand it. But they've been told that this is how God works. He works in this mysterious realm that you're not able to understand. Why did Jesus die for you? Why did Jesus die for you? Through the gospel message, you can understand. Because he promised that he... The law promised, God promised in the garden when this fell. He said, you've not seen the last of me. Satan will not win. I will send you a champion. I will send you someone who will save your souls. And through the gospel message, we saw that Jesus was that person. Right? And we understood that because it was spoken to us in a language that we understand. Sorry. I don't know of any place that really speaks Latin. But the whole point is if, what did you say? They teach Latin. See, they don't set you in a class and just start speaking Latin to you and expect you to understand, right? They teach it to you. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know. So, but the whole point is that if you go to a worship service and you're trying to worship God and someone's speaking in a language that you don't understand, how's God going to work that out? He did on the day of Pentecost. That everyone heard the gospel in their own language and they understood why Jesus died for them and what they must do to be saved. John 17, 4 through 5. This is probably, and these people may not admit this, but this is probably the biggest stickler that happens. It says, Jesus said in, excuse me. Jesus said in John 17, 4 through 5, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Do you know why people like to speak in tongues and for the whole church to go silent? Because they think there's something. They don't want to admit that. But if you take that away, then they can't do something that nobody else can do. They have this one-way ticket to God. And you're all here listening to the preacher man, right? And yet he stands up and all attention is focused on him. Who should the attention be when we come into this building? It should be on the Lord. We are here to worship him. We are not here to worship man. And there's some good people here. I love to see your faces, right? There's some good people here. But we're not here to raise any of them up. None of them. We're here to raise up the Lord. You see, Jesus was glorified when he died on that tree. Tongues was never to exalt or glorify man, but to teach everyone of that sacrifice in a language we could all understand. That's why tongues was used on the day of Pentecost. Now, there's other aspects that we're going to cover, Lord willing, about tongues, but they're going to help us clarify some questions that we might have. They're like, okay, well, I can understand this, but what about this and what about this? So I picked three other topics to talk about with tongues and why they were used and why we saw them, why they were present. But tongues in the generalest, simplest form was God bringing the language back together through the gospel message so that people could understand what His Son did for you. And I think anybody can agree with that. Anybody can agree that if we hadn't have understood the gospel message, we would never known what Jesus did for us. They'd be speaking in Latin. We'd say, oh man, this is great, isn't it? I think. No. We know what He did. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and remember, there was like 10 or 12 different languages that was there, and he spoke to them, and everyone understood this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He says, this is a promise that I not only give the people that are here today, but I give to your children and all who are far off, as many who will answer this call. He says, as many as the Lord God that calls. How He calls them is through the gospel message. And so anyone that answers that call, God said, I'll reach out. He said, and I'll save them. And the same promise applies to them. And 8 to 10 years later, after the day of Pentecost, guess what? The gospel went into the Gentile world. Went into the Gentile world. They understood it the same way that the Hebrews understood it. And guess what? They didn't speak the same language. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?